Today, we will talk about our Lord Jesus' prayer for His disciples, for His 11 disciples. And as we continue to, as we read about Jesus' prayer for His disciples, let's think about certain themes. Now you ask, why is it that our Lord Jesus, before He prayed for all believers, why did He first pray for the 11 disciples? And what this wants to show is this 11 disciples, they have this weighty vocations. Because they will be inspired by the Holy Spirit, and in future they will be writing this inerrant word of the New Testament. Without this New Testament, no one can understand about Christ, about Holy Spirit, and about salvation. Now, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that our faith is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Apostles and prophets. Prophets wrote the Old Testament, and the apostles wrote the New Testament Bible. And that sets the foundation of all our faith. There's no other inspiration. There's no other conviction or no other voice from God. So this faith tells us that if there's other people who came and claim that they are apostles or prophets, or they claim that they have also heard the voice of God and received the revelation of God, you must not listen to them. Other than this Bible, the 66 books of the Bible written by the prophets and apostles, there's no other word. So Christ is the cornerstone, and that's it. It's very clear. There's no other things. So what we preach is based on this Bible, and we based on this Bible to teach the word. So if any other church or believer, if they still talk about their own conviction and their own voices that they heard from God, they are just believing in their own gospel, they are just preaching their own gospel. And that bring about the greatest danger in the course of history. And now, this group of apostles, Jesus prayed for this group of apostles who will be receiving the weighty vocation. Now, you may think that Jesus loved the disciples more than the other believers. That's just our narrow perspective. Now, when you love a person, do you just love the person's hand or legs or eyes? Actually, you love everything about the person, even the person's flaw. You love the whole person. But you know that the heart of the person is the most important, because the moment the heart stops, the whole life is gone. Now, you build a magnificent building, but you know that the foundation of this building is very important, because the moment the foundation is being struck, the entire building will collapse. So you must understand God's heart, what God wants to emphasize right now, even the order of what He or whom He prayed for. So Jesus first prayed for His apostles, the disciples, because they are going to receive the weighty vocation. Now, God has elected, and all this happened within God's election. And God also prayed for them. Jesus prayed, Father, by Your name, please keep them. So, what God has given our Lord Jesus, and Jesus also asked Father God to keep them. So, we know our Lord Jesus had prayed like this for the apostles, and is Jesus also praying for us today? Of course. God elected the 11 apostles minus Judas, who fell away. Now, if God kept the 11 apostles, so today He also elects, and He will also keep us. So God clearly knows who belongs to Him. what God has elected, that is the holy people and the church. What God wants to receive is the church and the new bride. He came for the bride, He died for the bride, and He rose from the dead for the sake of the bride. And now Jesus ascended to the throne, and He waits for the day to come for the sake of His elect, for the sake of His new bride. And He will come again for His elect. And the perfect church of God is the building which God wants to acquire. All other things are just peripheral. All other things will burn up. So we must understand that the entire human history, as we progress from history in history, God's eyes are always on His church. Everyone who is being brought into His church to know Him, God is waiting for them. And so what did God say? Father, everyone whom You have given Me, none of them will perish. So 100 sheep, if one wanders away, God will surely find back that lost sheep. This is God's absolute promise to keep His people. So no one will fall away except for the one who is set for destruction, doomed to destruction. So some people, they think that, you know, after God elects a person and then one person fall away, then it seems as if God has changed His mind. But strictly speaking, you have to know that Jesus never had elected Judas. When Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, He said, all of you, after being washed, you have been cleansed, but not all of you are clean, because I know who I have chosen. And Jesus said, haven't I chosen 12 of you, but one of you belong to the devil? So very clearly, Judas himself chose to enter the band of the 12 disciples. It seems as if Judas chose to sit there to hear Jesus preaching and serve the Lord. But you have to know that despite hearing all the messages and seeing all the miracles, but Judas never allowed Jesus to walk into his heart. So our Lord Jesus, He prayed for the 11 disciples, 11 apostles, and His prayer is not in vain. Other than the one doomed to destruction, which is prophesied by the Bible, and he went down the path of destruction himself. So God's election is so absolute. It will not change, it will not fail, it is ever faithful. Now this is the basic theme. And the next thing is what I will talk about next week, because today we do not have enough time. So next week, our Lord Jesus will pray for this disciple, saying, Lord, please sanctify them with the truth. Now this is very important. Now sanctification is something I will elaborate more next week. But briefly right now, now the sanctification of Christians, what is it? Many people misunderstood the sanctification of Christians. A lot of people associate the Christian sanctification with religious cultivation and morals and practice. So in religions, there's a lot of practices to meditate, to cultivate one's, to cultivate oneself, to train a person, to make a person maybe carry water up and down the mountain, to do very laborious things to shape or tame his temperament. Now, this is what human religion think about and think of. Now, in modern day psychology, there's also such methods. So they try to alter and modify your thinking and behavior. So they try to shape people's thinking into positivity. Do not say anything of complaint. Just learn how to say 50 words of thanks every day. if you do certain things for a period of time, you'll get used to it. So psychology will tell you that. And because Christians always hear the word but didn't want to do the word, so people try to train a person's behavior. But no matter how you modify a person's behavior, that is different from the sanctification that the Bible talk about. I'm not saying that it is not important to shape your thinking and conduct, but you must understand that the sanctification that the Bible talks about and the taming of a person's conduct is different. You can tame a horse, but that is still a horse. It is not. It will not have a human temperament. Now, a man of flesh, you try to tame him to be gentle and kind, he could be tamed. But if without the truth of God, he is still a man of flesh. What he think about is still things on earth, and he would not understand things of heaven. And so he is not sanctified. So what is sanctification? A person becomes holy, set apart. And who can do that? Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And so the first time when the Holy Spirit works in our life, what did the Holy Spirit do? Through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit gives birth to us. So that is regeneration. So the moment a person is regenerated, the seed of sanctification is being planted in the person's heart. The first seed of sanctification is being planted in the person's life, and then from there, it starts to sprout. And this person is born again, and he realizes that there is God, there's heaven and hell, there's eternity. And then he understood that he is a sinner and God is a savior. He comes before God, and after that, when the Holy Spirit wants to sanctify him, it's not to make him drowsy or let him faint and get up again. Holy Spirit will surely use the Word of God to sanctify a person. So the person can come before God and suddenly his eyes are open, and when he hears the truth, he can understand every word. Why am I being created? Why is the world being created? Why did God give us this temporal life on earth? Why did God give me marriage and finances? And what's the purpose? Why did God give me relationship? And one by one, he starts to understand. And amazingly, in the process of this, he became sanctified. He put away the old one and he put on the new self, and his heart and mind are being renewed every day. Only the truth can teach him, enlighten him, reform him. But without the truth, he just trained himself. But that doesn't lead to sanctification. So if a person goes to church after believing in Christ, and if the pastor didn't clearly teach him the Word of God, only ask him to pray and then see some visions, get some experiences, and have some feelings, then even if he believed God for 20 years, he's still an infant spiritually. He still has this very old self which is very strong. And he always cannot hear God's voice. He always have to off the light and get some special inspiration from God. And that is because he has yet to be sanctified. So Jesus said, Father, please sanctify them with the truth. Without the truth, there is no sanctification. Some people say, truth is very important, we need to listen. But many people, they listen, but they didn't do it. And so they off the light, they try to get some healing and deliverance so that their hearts can get high and they can do the Word of God. So people look for these things to resolve the helplessness, powerlessness in their heart. But why is it that you hear the Word, but you didn't do it? Why is it that you didn't change? Have you ever asked yourself, is it because the Word lacks power? In fact, you realize you didn't do it because of two reasons. First, because you have not believed. You do not believe it. When you hear the word, many a times your heart resists it. For example, you hear about husband and wife. Pastor say you need to sacrifice for each other, but you have this resistance. Why should I sacrifice for my spouse? He should sacrifice for me. When this resistant heart comes, you are stuck from then on. And you cannot keep on receiving the Holy Spirit's conviction and help. And so you just stop there. And second, you may say, Pastor, I truly believe the word, but I just cannot do it. That is because you are weak by human nature. But listen carefully. But when you truly believe in the word of God and yet you cannot do it, then amazingly, the work of the Holy Spirit that comes from the word of God will rebuild you. So in that rebuild, it will come discipline, and disciplines carry the love of God. And so you'll be cut to your heart, you'll be humbled down, and you will seek for grace from God to help you, and slowly you will bear the fruit of righteousness to do the word of God. So first problem is you do not believe. Second problem is you're not humble enough, you're weak, but you gratify your weakness, and you find other ways to soothe yourself, but you didn't abide by the word of God. So listen carefully. As you listen to the truth of God, in fact, the Holy Spirit is working. You thought you just hear it, and you know that you cannot do it later on, but do not look down on the work of the Holy Spirit. Because as you are hearing the word of God, God is crushing yourself, and God is teaching you, reforming you. And in the process of this, you become more and more humble. And the humbler you are, God will lift you up and show you grace. So truth is really very important. A very severe problem of this era is to take the truth of God lightly. So after knowing, they don't want to confirm and struggle through and abide by it. But after they hear the truth, they rather go for alternative ways to get high, and so they cannot carry out the will of God. So such people serve in the Lord, being very high. They sing, they dance. It's just to gratify their own vanity. It's as if they feel they are worthless, and they do something to feel useful. But they have not surrendered before God. So you need the truth in order to be sanctified. So next week, I will talk more about this. Now today, we talk about our Lord Jesus' prayer to Father God to keep His disciples. Now the book of John is very important. John chapter 17, verse 6. Last week, we read about Jesus' own prayer for Himself from verses 1 to 5, and now today is verse 6. If you understood verse 6, you will understand the rest of Jesus' prayer for His disciples. So verse 6 is the foundation. Now, Jesus is calling out to Father God, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. So it's not everyone in the world, but those whom God has given Jesus in the world, and they were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. So do you realize? And then verse 7, now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. So where is the emphasis? No, Father, you have gave me from out of the world. They are yours. So Jesus mentioned three times. although there is no explicit mention, but what Jesus is trying to point out is those whom God has elected and known. So why is it that when we talk about the work of the Trinity, God, we always say Father God predestines salvation, Holy Spirit, Holy Son fulfills salvation, and then Holy Spirit executes salvation. So this group of people who is already known by God beforehand. And so Romans told us those whom He have known, He already beforehand already determined that they will take on the likeness of His Son. And so when the time comes, God will make this group of people born again in Christ so that they know Christ and they can live out a life that is like Christ. So today we can believe in God. That starts from whose work? It is completely God's work because His election comes first, and so we can hear Him and believe in Him. So Father God, You have given me this group of people. So this is between Father God and the Holy Son. And so the Holy Son comes to reveal the name of Father God to those people whom Father God has given Jesus. So a person's name encompasses the person's character. So when we talk about the name of God, so the divinity of God and all the attributes of God, you know what is God's attributes? God is completely righteous, loving, holy, totally wise and powerful, completely faithful. And so Jesus said, I have revealed your name, not just taught about you, but I have revealed you over 3.5 years when I was with my disciples. So Jesus performed all kinds of miracles to show them how powerful God is, how righteous God is, and how loving God is. And all this can be shown, can be seen in the life of Jesus Christ. So how the Son is, that represents and that reflects the Father. How the Father is, so the Son is. So they have already obeyed your word. And so in these 3.5 years, Jesus has revealed Father God to those whom God has elected. So the gospel has this very important truth, and that is God's election. He has sent His only Son to seek out those people whom He has chosen, and He died and resurrected for His people. So some people, when they hear all this truth, they struggle. Pastor, I do not like to hear all these things that you just mentioned. It's very exclusive. What I want to hear is God loves the world. God loves all mankind. Then this God is great because He loves everyone and He saved everyone. Now you like that kind of faith. That is your own faith. But the Bible didn't say that. When our Lord Jesus came to the world, angels came and say, glory belongs to God in the highest, but on earth peace belongs to those on whom His favor rests. It's not everyone, but those whom He have foreknown and predestined. And Matthew chapter 24 is so when it was mentioned, when tribulation was mentioned, the Bible says, for the sake of the elect, the days of tribulation will be cut short. John 17 also says, you have gave me this group of people from out of the world, and I have revealed you to them. So this is the exclusivity of the election of God. Now, if those of you who cannot accept this, you can come and approach me, and I'll explain to you later. Now, some people say, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, you must not forget that. Now, who is the world? So John 3:16 talks about God loves the world. Now, many people, when they read the Bible, they didn't connect a consistent flow to the Bible. But they just go along to their own human nature to think that God loves everyone in the world. Now, God loves the world. Now, Pastor Chu loves China people of China. I love China. But do you know that China opposes me? The ruler of China, the authority leaders in China, they oppose me and stop me from entering China. The ideologies of China, their materialism, their atheism, they are all in opposition to my faith. But do I still love China? I still love China. But what is my meaning? My meaning is I love those in China who belong to God. When I said I love China, I meant I love those in China who belong to God. So you have to understand. You need to understand the Bible with a consistent flow. Now, God loves the world, and that is very fitting to human nature. But God never loved those who do not belong to Him. God never loved those who never repent. No, He will not die and bled for those who will never repent. And then the people just reject Jesus. And then Jesus suddenly just changed His mind. No, of course, Jesus is not fickle-minded. The character of God is whoever He loves, He will never lose them. Now, in Christian faith, many people cannot accept this truth that God loves those who belong to Him. God comes to this world not to die for everyone, but God comes to die for those who belong to Him. So after you understood this truth, then you will realize that today you can believe in His gospel. You are so privileged and honored. How much grace has been showered upon you, such that you can even be called the people of God. So the love that the Bible talks about is like the husband loves his wife. I love my wife, but I do not love all the women. Of course, God loves every created being. But not every created being has an exclusive relationship with Him. Not every created being can be with God forever. So God loves the world. Do not just stop there. That He gave His one and only Son. But next line is that whoever believes in Him. So God loves whoever in the world who believes in Him. If you still cannot understand this, you can approach me later. Some people, they argue a long time with me. I know as long as you are in the Life Church, you will keep hearing this truth. Because if you do not understand this truth, it will not affect your salvation, but it will affect the assurance of your salvation, the assurance of you being loved. God will keep you, guard you. He already paid for all your sins on the cross, and He also redeemed you so that you can hear the word and believe in Him. He also redeemed your faith. And what else? He also guaranteed that your faith will be kept all the way. So on the cross, it's not just about shedding blood and repaying for sin. The effect spiritually is beyond that. So Jesus not just paid for the debts of sins, but Jesus also redeemed your faith, and He will keep your faith to the end. And so you can say that those who believe in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. So God will keep you till when? Is it until this present life? He will keep you till eternal life. Why must you be kept to eternal life? Why not just stop at present life? Now, if God tells us that He will keep us to this present life only, then it's dangerous. Because when you go back to heaven, if in heaven there is a serpent and another tree, and then try to tempt us again, then your heart may itch again. Then you may choose wrongly, and you may oppose God again. So after the first fall of Adam, God guaranteed that it will not happen again. So after going through salvation history, and when you go back to heaven, forevermore you will never fall again. Now you have been in the church for so long, have you ever heard this truth? If not, that means your pastor had not taught you clearly about this assurance. In the past, I have been going to church since I was young. I have a lot of doubts when I read the Bible. I keep thinking, what if I fall away? What if I don't fall in this life, but I fall in my eternal life? Then I realized that God has already answered all my doubts in His Word. So listen carefully today. Every word, understand it. Understand God's promise. But if you want to read the Bible by gratifying your human nature, you know, God loves the world. And then Jesus said, I do not pray for the world, but I pray for those whom God you have given me. So you'll be very confused. If you want to explain the Bible by your human nature, you realize you will not be consistent. But you have to understand God by His own attribute and His own character. And then you surrender to the fact that He is God and I am not God. You are not God. Now, some people, they try to be greater than God's love. They are the most complicated people. Because they think that God loves only a few people, but they think that if they are God, they want to love everyone. If you are so great, then you be God yourself, but you cannot even love people beside you. So this is the pride and the narrowness of humans. Because in his mind, he thought that God must save every single person. Now, if God loves everyone, then why is it that some people, they reject God? Is it because God's charisma is not great enough? Then if you go down that line, then it seems as if God is very weak and He is like He is just one-sided in His love. No, but our God is not weak and one-sided. He, those whom He chose, He will also keep to the end. Now, if you have the right idea and belief of God, then all the rest of your other faith belief will be right. So you let all these truths settle down in your heart. I can refer you to the Bible verse by verse. Now, you will ask, now who are those whom God has elected? Who are those whom the Father God has given to the Son? Of course, here is referring to the apostles, but it's also the prayer for all believers. Now, verse 7 and 8, now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me. So the words, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Now, how do you know you are elected by God? Now, whether you are elected by God has nothing to do with your zeal in your serving or your gift, whether you can speak in tongues or so on. All these things are external things. It cannot prove the real essence of your life. Whether you belong to God, whether you are elected by God, we can tell that from your response to God's word. Now, the word Father God that you have given me, they have heard it and accepted it, and they also have obeyed your word. So some people say, how do I know I'm elected by God? So some people, they listen attentively to the word of God, So they listen attentively, but you do not really know what is the inner longings of their life. Some people, they hear the word, it's as if they're just hearing knowledge, because they are very curious. They are very curious about a lot of philosophies in the Christian faith. So some people, they are like that. Some people, they listen attentively because now they have problems in their marriage, in their health. After their marital and health problems are resolved, you look at them, they become drowsy again. After church, they want to quickly leave. So they are just hearing the word of God to soothe their own hurts. But they have not yet developed a relationship with the word of God. Later on, I will talk about the life of Judas, which can make us ponder upon many things. So people hear the word of God, but we do not know what is the inner longings of their heart. So some things can only be told over time and after going through trials. So whether a person has a real relationship with the word of God is not about how he listened to the word of God. You must ask, when the person hears the word of God, is it in order to obey God's word? Now, the disciples have already obeyed the word of God. They have accepted and obeyed the word of God. So some people, they hear the word of God, they just are curious. They just want to get some information or knowledge. But some people, they hear the word of God in order to obey the word of God. So they hear the word of God in order to obey God. So such a person, they have a real relationship with the word of God. They consider God's word as the words of eternal life. So so the disciples heard the word of Jesus and they believed that Jesus came from Father God. Now the 11 disciples, they all had their own weaknesses. But the very real and unique work of God on the disciples is when Jesus preached the word of God, they can recognize that Jesus came from Father God. I always cite this example. Now, if you have been separated from your son for 10 over years, and one day on the street you saw someone who looked like your lost son, but you do not really recognize him, then how can you affirm that he is your lost son? You need to find him and perform a DNA test. Because DNA is very accurate. Now, if you want to know whether a person is the elect child of God, can you just judge the person by his outward conduct? Of course not. You must clearly preach to him the word of God. When you preach the word of God well, and you look at his response, he comes before the word, not before you. Maybe initially he comes before you, but eventually he's being attracted to this word. After he leaves this place, he struggled because of the word of God, and he gradually lived it out. And if he has certain troubles in his relationship or marriage, he will come before God and ask God, in which area am I not obeying you? So he responds to God's word, meaning he has the DNA of God. So some churches, they only like to talk about interpersonal relationship. They just go out for chit-chat and tea with seekers of the faith. So leaders of the church who do this, you realize two phenomena. There'll be more and more goats and people in his church. So they always use such methods to build friendship. They use such methods to build friendship with people. In future, they have to use more of such methods to build relationship. Now, if I have to drink tea with you or give you presents, now how many days can I have tea with you? And when certain things happen, the relationship just collapses easily because that relationship is not built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, the word of God. So I also recognize that some people, when they come to the church, they will say, you know, Pastor, I do not really understand your sermons. But I will ask, you do not really understand the word, but why do you still come? And the person will say, I'm not sure, but maybe I'm attracted by the songs or by human expressions. So I also want to say, if you do not know why you still come to the church and you still do not really understand the sermon, but yet you still sit here, now you must understand that this is the preparatory work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has set a time to save you, but the work of the Holy Spirit also will prepare a person. For various reasons, a person will sit here, and in the course of hearing the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's amazing work will come. Sometimes the Holy Spirit seek out, sometimes the Holy Spirit prepares, sometimes the Holy Spirit convicts a person of sin. So, especially when the Word of God is being preached, the Holy Spirit will touch human souls. So I will not drive you away. If you do not know why you come, but you're just attracted by the teachings of Christ and by Christian faith, you continue to sit here. Today you may not understand, maybe you will be able to understand next month. This is the preparatory work of the Holy Spirit. Now, when Holy Spirit prepares, it doesn't mean that you will be saved, but you are just moving towards heaven. Now, verse 9, let's read together. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. Now, this verse is very clear. Now, some people say that, some people explain that it is not because Jesus does not love the world, but because the disciples are very important people to preach the gospel. But actually, here, this verse wants to set a distinction. Not long after becoming a Christian, I read John chapter 17. People always say that Jesus is a savior of the world. Now, if he is the savior of the world, why don't he pray? No, Father God, I pray for the whole world. I want to rescue all mankind. But why is it that Jesus prayed that I only pray for them, but not for the world? Later on, Jesus also prayed that, I pray for those who will hear the word of the disciples and who believe in the word they preach. Now, Jesus never said that, I pray for everyone in the world. His exclusive prayer is very consistent. It's one line. It's like when you build a building, there's a lot of miscellaneous things like metal rods or wooden blocks. You only focus on the core and the rest are not important. Now, all the culture and everything in the world all exists for the sake of the elect. Now, this is something amazing. So the moment you understand this, then whatever you are doing on earth is secondary. Only one thing is important. You need to know this God and fulfill His great commission. Every role that God has given you on earth is to fulfill the mission of saving souls so that people can know God. So it's exclusive prayer, not universal prayer. So today's message, I particularly emphasize on this. Because Jesus said, keep them, but keep who? Who is this group of people? Now verse 10, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory, so it's very clear, this group of people is yours. Last week I said, Holy Son, It's not as if Father God first loved the people and then Holy Son suddenly in between history appear and then also loved the people. No, but the Holy Son, Holy God, they were together right in the beginning. They have no beginning and end. So in eternity, Father God and Holy Son, they have the same thoughts, same mind, same love, same election. So all I have is yours and all you have is mine. And all glory has come to me through them. So from here, I know that our Lord Jesus not just want to enter our lives, but He also want to be glorified through us. So does the Lord wants to receive glory through us? I grew up in traditional church. Every time when I hear that we must glorify God, then the next I feel, you know, I fall short because I feel I've disgraced God. Because on earth, you know, we are full of flesh, we love the world, we lose our temper. How can we glorify God? But God's prayer is this: because of them, I've received glory. Now, will Jesus get glory because of Peter? Because Peter was about to deny Jesus 3 times. So later on, I understood the greatness of Jesus' prayer. You have to understand the context, then you will understand Jesus' prayer. Now, in your living, you have certain weaknesses, your character, your temperament. Sometimes you are lazy. You push the work between you and your colleagues and you grumble against your boss. Now, this is a process of your sanctification and healing. But what comes before, but before you can glorify God, what is the starting point? You must first be someone who is set apart from the world. So later on, you will read about what God says, the Lord says. The Lord says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. So please protect them. So before a person can be a vessel glorifying to God, he must first be set apart from the world. So those who are set apart from the world, their thinking and where they want to go, their values of life, all this will be different from the people of the world. My focus is on eternity, but what people of the world, they focus on is earthly things. My focus is to glorify the name of God. But people of the world, they just are concerned about people. They just give thanks for worldly peace. So I must first be someone who is set apart from the world. If we have certain weakness in terms of our nature or temperament, but the focus of your life, your heart, is things in heaven, then no matter what, that's the right starting point. And that person can start to be a vessel to glorify God. Last time when I was at work, I'm also weak. I also grumble against my boss and so on. But when my colleagues, when they look at me, they know that I'm always going to church. You know, I will go to church on Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. You know, the focus of this person is on the church. So if there's any problem, they will come to me because they say, I'm Christian, I will not lie. So Christian will not lie. They will recognize that this Christian is real because his concern is on things in heaven. So the direction of your life, your ultimate goal, if it's not set apart from the world, if you are like the world, you know, what people rejoice, what people of the world rejoice, you also rejoice. What they grieve, you also grieve. If there's no distinction, then after that, you be a good person, you socialize with people. Now, God will not be glorified through such a person. So there's something very clear-cut in the Bible. Is it black or white? Where are you going? What is it that you're pursuing today? What's the goal and purpose of your marriage, of your work? So Jesus said, this group of people, they already knew that I came from you. And I've also received glory through them. So now the Lord is praying for them and empathizing their weakness. But this group of people, they already understood and they cannot take the path of the world anymore. So we are people like them. So if you're not clear, we are like half a Christian, half worldly. Now some people, they are very clear that although they are weak, they know where they are going. The moment I think about my family members, it's not first praying for their health or to make them rich. But the first thing I pray for is their salvation. And God will receive glory through you. Verse 11, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Now we know very clearly our Lord Jesus' meaning. For 3.5 years, I've been sleeping and eating and drinking and serving together with you. Your naked eyes can see me. Now, human instinct is by what they can see with their eyes. They depend on their parents, on their boss, and on the money that they can see. But the Lord Jesus is going to Father God there where He is no longer visible. And what is left behind is the words that Jesus has told them and the Holy Spirit who is to come. So my word and the Holy Spirit, they will guide you and protect you. So Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Why must Jesus pray? By the name you gave me, protect them. Why must Jesus mention the name? Now, Jesus kept and protect His people because of His own name. God is faithful, loving, righteous, and almighty. He is the one with absolute sovereignty, and with that authority, with that name, He protects His people. So David said, Lord, by your name, please guide me to walk on the path of righteousness. So the emphasis here is, God has protected you, but it's not because of your merits or because of your humility. God protects you because of His name, because of His faithfulness, so He protects you, because of His love, so He protects you. Now, some people, have you ever asked, you have been a Christian for 20 years, and why are you still a believer? And why do you continue to believe? Is it because you are not bad? Actually, it's because our Lord Jesus has prayed for you. Father God, please protect this person, this life whom I have elected. And so that's why you can remain a Christian for 20 years, 30 years. So some people ask, in these 20 years, don't you have your moment of weakness? But some people, they will say, you know, I have weakness, but you must know how to rely on the Lord. I know how to rely on the Lord. Such a person, they do not understand the grace that the Bible talks about. Because everything comes from God and depends on God. So, Father God, by your name, please protect your people. By your name, please lead me to walk in path of righteousness. So we must not misunderstand and insert human things into God's great work. Let me just say, God will surely keep those whom He loves to the very end. Last Thursday, I said that without the protection and keeping of God, no one can continue to stand firm in this fallen, evil world. Even Peter, he was to fall very soon. Jesus said, Satan, he will sift you. The power of Satan is greater than you. When he oppressed human hearts to make you fear, but Jesus said, I've already prayed for you. You will not lose your faith. After you got up, strengthen your brothers. Now, so the prayer of the Lord is surely effective. Jesus not just prayed back then, but in the 2,000 years of church history, why is it that believers do not fall and they can finish their race and see the Lord? That's because of the Lord's prayer and protection. But some people, they say, some people, they believe in Christ last year, and then this year, they believe in Buddhism or Falun Gong. Actually, such a person, they have not truly believed. No, true believer is not just someone who have made the conversion prayer or raised their hand during gospel rally. They need clear evidence in their life. Of course, some people, they truly belong to God. For example, 30 years old, they truly believe. But they are weak when they are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, or they marry non-believer. They walk the path of the world. They didn't attend church. But when they are at age 70, they still repent. They are still loved by God. Why did they come back to God at age 70? That's because when he was at age 30, God has already found him and won him over. So God's word will keep seeking his people, his sheep back. Some people, maybe they didn't go to church before COVID, but when COVID came, they returned to the church, maybe because of fear and helplessness. So God will find back his sheep. And that's what's taking place in the whole human history. Now verse 11, the second half. So that they may be one as we are one. So those whom God has found back, God will make them united with the other saints. So they will be one as the Son and Father is one. So Jesus is not just concerned about the unity between the sheep and himself, but he's also concerned about the unity between the sheep of God. That's why we say that a believer will fall away if he leaves the church. Now, some people say, I only left the church, I have not fallen away. So if you're in church, but if you're outside the church, how can you worship at home yourself? So our Lord is a Lord above all, in all, through all. So he prayed that all the disciples can be united. So we must not create our own religion. And now verse 12, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. And so this is referring to Judas. Now, verse 12 basically talk about two things. First, of those elected, no one will be lost. So, this is what we call the perseverance of saints. This is my constant emphasis today. So, no one will be lost. The 11 disciples, the 11 apostles whom I know, will never be lost. All the saints that I have known will never be lost. Except for the one doomed to destruction. Now this person doomed to destruction, is it because he believed, then he fell away, and then he was destroyed? In fact, he never believed at all. So even in chapter 6, before Judas, before Judas even betrayed Jesus, when Jesus was washing the feet of his disciples, he already said, haven't I cleansed every one of you, but not every one of you is clean. So in summary, If you believe that your faith comes from your choice and decision, I choose to raise my hand during gospel rally. I choose to make a conversion prayer. I choose to come to church. I choose to follow God. And so I am saved because it's by my choice. But now I want to show you Judas' example for you to think through. Now, Judas chose to follow Jesus. Judas chose to remain in the team of Jesus. He heard all the messages and saw all the miracles of Jesus. He also decided for himself to follow Jesus for 3.5 years. But the Bible told us that he belonged to the devil. The Lord never said that he has already been born again and after that he renounced his faith. From the beginning, God already knew that based on the scriptures, that is how Judas is. So what I'm trying to say is, if you believe that you are saved because of your choice and decision, you must not believe that person. Because for a person to be won over by God, that person is truly converted and it is a spiritual matter. The person is renewed and transformed in heart and mind. We can call it renewal or conversion. It's a conversion and transformation of life. And that has nothing to do with your will. Your will comes because your life has been won over and transformed by God, and so you can after that decided to commit your life to God. Now, a cell group leader asked me, does regeneration comes first or faith comes first? So I mentioned this many times. Are you born again first or do you have faith first? Now, between born again and faith. Now, faith is whose action? Human response. I believe, I call out. Now, that is faith. Now, born again is done by who? It's done by the Holy Spirit. So I ask first. God works first or you work first? So God has regenerated us. And then we become renewed and transformed. Then we can have the response of faith. You can give out the call of faith. That is because God has first made you born again and touched you. Now, many people up to today, they are still not clear in this church. Now, so today I want to teach you very clearly. If you think this is your choice, let me say it again. I show you the example of Judas. He have made all the right choices. In his 3.5 years of choices, he's made the choice. But in fact, he had never truly converted and he never truly believed. And so eventually, he's exposed. He chose to follow God and he also chose to betray God. And all this took place all within his own choices. His heart is still the same. It was never transformed or truly converted. So he chose to follow, he chose to betray. So please do not impose human factors into salvation. Of course, in the matters of sanctification, when God's word comes, you can choose to follow God and obey God. But with regard to salvation, 100% is God's work. Because God elects people. God elects those, Jesus elects those whom the Father gave to Him. So let's pray. Lord, today we want to thank You for giving us this very important word so that we can truly understand the foundation of the truth. Before the creation of the world, Your foreknowledge, Your predestination all comes from You because everything is from You, it depends on You and it's for You. May You receive all the glory. Today, we who are dust, we can be a spiritual person, we can have our spiritual eyes being opened. It's all because of Your work. today we can still sustain our faith. That's because of your protection and keeping. Lord, today please use your word to teach us and to keep us and to sanctify us. Lord, we thank you for this. After hearing the word, we want to run quickly to follow you. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.